guys. Welcome back to another episode and season, actually, of the Candid Christian Convos podcast. If you're new here, my name is Morwa and I am your host. I have been gone for a little while. And you know what? I hesitated to call this a new season because I was like, the last season was just two episodes. And so does that count as a season? But you know what? The Lord told me it does. He is the one who determines whether a season is two episodes or 12 episodes. Amen. So that season did what it needed to do. It was two episodes and I took a break. I had a baby and now we're back. In this season, I am having different conversations with my sister, Farah. If you have listened to the podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard her voice. You guys liked her so much that I decided to do a whole season with just conversations with between the two of us. So this episode is all about friendship and I hope you enjoy it. Do you have friends?
Yeah, I like to think so.
This episode, we're talking about friendship. In this season, God has been convicting me about how I view a lot of people as disposable. Mm. And I think it's a trauma response, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I think I was saying to mom that I'm moving around so much kind of didn't let me form really strong attachments to people. So people who are like, oh, I've been friends with this person for 10 years. I can't relate because I wasn't ever in any school long enough to develop like deep roots in friendships. So my tendency, and I'm also, I think I'm a very low maintenance person when it comes to friendship. So whenever anyone is proving to be high maintenance, I'm like, this is a little too much effort for me. Like, my tendency is to want to run or just like cut that person off mentally. I won't mm-hmm. ever like verbalize that I've cut the person off, but it will be like a distancing in my head or just like a checking out. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was convicting me about that because he was like, where is mercy? Where is compassion? Where is empathy? And like, there are covenant relationships that are supposed to go the long haul and long run. And you won't ever get into those relationships if you are always so quick to get rid of people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I feel like this podcast can go in many different directions. But it means we have a lot to talk about, which is never a bad thing.
You have a friend.
I do.
Okay. You have good friends?
I do.
Okay.
Friend. Do you have a best friend?
Yes. But then I call many people my best friend. So it's not like I have a best friend and everybody knows this is my best friend. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I do. I have like two in mind. So I don't have a best friend. You know?
Okay. Do you? No, I don't have a best friend. At the point in time, I thought that was a problem because I'm like, should I have a best friend? But mm-hmm. I'm not someone who puts all my eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. Like, I have different friends for different reasons. And I used to think that sounded very transactional, but I think it's just a fact of life. Like, I have a friend I go to for like career advice. Everybody can't mean the same thing to you and everybody can't be on the same level of intimacy.
Yeah.
And I think I set myself up for disappointment and frustration and resentment when I thought everyone should be on the same level of intimacy and I was expecting the same thing from everyone. Anyway, before I ask that question.
Wait, are you holding these questions in your head? Because I had something that I wanted to say.
Okay, so
stuck out from what you said to me about low maintenance that God convicted you about was very interesting because I feel like I was on the other end of things because I watched this TikTok video about this lady who was talking about how, like, yeah, you have some low maintenance friendships, but low maintenance should not be your default. Like, friendship in the same way your relationships with your partner or with whoever, like, requires effort. Saying, oh, I love, like, I thought it was that it's a buzzword now where people are like, oh yeah, I'm such a low maintenance friend or I only want low maintenance friends. But there's some people who actually have needs that need to be met in a relationship. Like, I know by default, yeah, a pretty low maintenance person mm-hmm. as well. But I also got convicted where I'm like, no, but you have to put like effort in your friendships.
I guess it all depends on like the definition of low maintenance. So by low maintenance, I don't mean I don't put effort or like, mm-hmm. I don't want people to expect me to put effort, mm-hmm. but like, I'm not the type of person that would get offended if you haven't replied me in 3 days. Like,
oh, okay.
I,
I just know everybody has stuff going on. Like, it's, I'm just pretty chill. I'm pretty, I think, understanding. Yeah. So, like, if somebody canceled on me, like, the night before we're supposed to do something, I won't be upset. Like, I don't really need check-ins.
If it was me, I probably would have been wanting
to. Honestly, half, like, 90%, unless, like, you're canceling 5 minutes before, yeah, in which case I've left my house, I've planned, like, that would annoy me. But otherwise, I'm probably low-key hoping you cancel. Let's keep it bug. So that's my definition of low maintenance. Like, I just don't require much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could not talk for a year. And, like, when we talk again, it's not, like, awkward.
Okay. Hear me out. But this is my question. I know you had a question. This is going on a different tangent.
Okay.
But if you haven't spoken for a year, how is that person your friend? Like, what is a friend?
Ooh,
you went in the deep end there.
I did, because I had this situation with, and maybe I'm on the higher maintenance end of
you
things.
Are,
but that's okay. I know, like, there's such bad, like, there's so much negativity attached to that.
Yeah, no, it's, you know,
I have high expectations for my friends, like,
yeah.
But the thing is, I don't want to text my friend every day. I don't want to call my friend every day, but I just don't see how, and I had this conversation with one of my friends, we can go a year, a month without talking. I don't know anything that is in your life, and you're calling me your closest friend or whatever.
Okay, that's why I said it depends on the levels of intimacy. Uh-huh. So if it was like somebody I consider a close friend, of course, like, going a year without talking, I don't think we can be close friends.
Yeah.
But we can be cool.
Well, yeah. I'm
like,
vexed at somebody.
Exactly. But like, I guess it all depends on, like I said, the levels of intimacy. But even like my closest friends, I'm trying to think, like, if somebody forgot my birthday that I considered my closest friend, I don't think I would be upset. I think my first point of call would be like, something must be going on for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm hardly the person that is like putting people aside to be like, hey, I just wanted to talk about the way, like, what you said made me feel. Like, I don't know. I think I just give people the benefits of the doubt, and I think that translates to low maintenance. Like, it's only if you've done something to me over and over again and I'm like, okay, this is a pattern, I think this is now, like, needs to be addressed, that I will address it. So in terms of conflict, like, I don't really fight with people. That's what I'm saying. I think it comes with adult friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Extending grace, knowing that people have stuff going on, people have real lives, people have jobs, people have, like, mental health challenges. Like, you know, it's not about me.
I'm sorry, you teaching on the edge of what's politics.
You notice that?
Yeah.
We gotta stay PC.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, can we go back to my question now?
Yes, but I have a question to ask in response to that, but I want to shelf that. So
the question I was going to ask is, like, as you have quite an interesting story and experience with friendships. Like,
sometimes I think you know me better than I know myself,
because you don't remember what I'm talking about. The Lord has called you in different ways that have affected your friendships.
Oh.
Sometimes that have, like, been challenging, painful, as you just, like, navigated life. How has that been for you, without, like, going into specifics? Like, I don't want to go into the specifics because I don't know how comfortable you are with that, but
my heart is beating fast.
Beating
fast beat too. God will have to help me remember, because one thing about me, I'm gonna forget as a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I think generally, consistently, all my life, I feel like I've had good friends. I don't think, maybe there's only one person I can think of that was a bad friend who was clearly leading me astray.
Mm.
So this actually brings an interesting conversation, where it's the difference between good friends and the difference between God friends.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think the older you grow and the more you mature, you need, obviously your God friends are good friends, but you can't hold on to friendship based on goodness.
Mm.
Like, you need God to be able to be like, no, this person needs to be in your life for this reason.
Yeah.
And they might look like different friends as well. Like, I have a friend who has really taught me the value of staying in a friendship and like working things out and growing, because me and this friend have fought so many times. And yesterday we were talking and we're like, wait, is this bondage? Like, is this friendship by force? Like, why have we fought so many times, still come back to each other as if there's something keeping us there? But I think that friendship has taught me that, like, different things.
That's
like,
that's covenant.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be bondage or covenant, depending.
Yeah.
Depending on who sent the person.
That part. And then I have other friends where they are, I've seen that they are part of my destiny. Because you become less preoccupied with, oh, this person becomes good vibes. Because literally, you meet people all the time. And you get along with people all the time. And not everybody you meet and you get along with can hop on your bandwagon and, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to discern that. But I say this because I'm trying to think of, whatever, it's part of my story, man. I didn't do anything bad. It's part of my story. I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl.
Okay.
Yeah, so what was your question again? So make sure I hit the nail on the head. How I navigate friendships?
Sure. What I think I asked was, like, I've seen you navigate different friendships and, like, leave someone, God called you out of them. And as, like, I think as you've, naturally, I think for everyone, as you grow and go closer to Jesus, there's some, the narrow way, like, not everyone is going to come on that path with you. So naturally people have fallen off and, like, so I'm just saying, I know it's been painful for you at times. Like, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So how has that journey been?
Yeah, so I guess the first disclaimer I would make is the one that I already said. I think that in navigating, it's definitely been painful because I want this again to be a candid conversation where I'm not being like, yes, everything that calls me to, God calls me to, is so easy. And, you know, like,
do you know you do this voice in it? Every episode.
This exact voice.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any some mental issue coming.
It's okay. It's okay, let's not go into that.
Okay. I was trying to link it back.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We don't have to go there.
I was so out of pocket for me to say. There's so many things I could see.
Let's go on.
Okay. It's hard. It's definitely been hard. And I think I made a video on my TikTok about how God removing somebody from your life. You know how people are always like, oh, if God removes somebody, he'll give you remove something from your life, he'll give you something better type of thing. I think that's true. I don't like to believe that my best ideas are behind me, but I made the clear distinction that just because God is giving you, isn't like the new people in your life don't replace the old people in your life, in the sense that you can't compare people, right? The person, like, some people who I grew up with are no longer in my life. Like, that's hard because my new friends don't really have the context that my old friends do. And so, yes, God has given me good friends. Has he given me friends that are better than this person in terms of my life experiences? No. But has he given me friends that are better, I don't even want to say better than this person, but better suited for me and my calling? Yes, he has. So I think it's, again, always reframing and remembering that I am living my life for the glory of God type of thing, where it's not really about me, it's who God made me to be from the beginning, who he's seen me from before. And he's like, okay, in order to get here, you need to let go of this, you need to let go of that. And it's sad, like, honestly, to date, I still think about some of my close and old friends, and I care about them, but I know it's also tricky just letting go, because some people won't understand. Thankfully, some of my friends understood, and, you know, just there wasn't a formal conversation or hatred or animosity. But I know other times there are, and you just have to keep your head high. I was about to have
an H5. Don't worry.
Yeah, actually, I have a question for you. Have you, two-sided question, have you ever had, like, an experience where you've had to let go of someone or some people for God's sake? And what advice would you give to somebody who is facing like animosity from the friends that they've had to let go of. Because in my case, I don't really have that animosity, but I know someone who's going through this right now, mm-hmm. and they're not sure how to navigate this situation. Because naturally, people are people. You can't just be like, okay, that's my life. Some people would want to come back and be like, let's work that. But it's not personal. It's not like I hate you now. It's God is, and you can't also, what's the word? Make them feel less than mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, well, I'm going higher. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you're leaving me behind or what? Do you know what I mean? So I'm not a Christian or what?
Thanks.
That's a really good question. Those are really good questions. I have had to, and it was hard, but I think it wasn't as overt as your experience. I think it was just there have been some instances where naturally, I think, friendships fizzled out because like I became more vocal about my faith and like people who weren't aligning with that or like weren't on a similar journey, I think naturally just kind of we gravitated away from each other. There have been some more intentional ones where the only way I can describe it is, did you used to swear? I used to swear too. And I'm going somewhere.
Please give me your six.
I used to cuss.
Just so you know,
just like touching my pearls. I probably touched the mic there. But when now that I don't swear anymore. I'm so But now that I don't swear anymore, when I'm around people who swear, it's so jarring.
It's cringe, yeah.
Like, I feel my body's like, it's like a visceral, like, like static. You know what a TV is? That's what happens to me when I hear people cuss. And so, I've had friendships who have felt like that. Mm. In that, like, whether it's like, obviously, not by my strength or my might or whatever, but like over time, as I've grown in my faith, people who I used to be friends with, I find that like there's just something incompatible about our ways of life.
Like, oh, yeah, like
yeah. It's like static. That's the only way I can, like, it's touching, it's not working. And I've had to accept that like I'm no longer the person I was when this friendship was what it was. Mm. And it was painful. It was painful because I didn't, like you said, want to make it seem like, oh, holier than thou, I'm dusting off my feet and leaving you in the sand. But it was kind of like for my holiness and for the sake of my consecration, I can't afford to be in such close contact with you because I know it will affect me. So I think with the goal of protecting holiness and understanding the importance of that, there are decisions you have to make and sacrifices you have to make and obedience. In your case, I think it was just the desire to be obedient to God. In my case, it was more that like I found myself like slipping into old patterns like when I went back. So I wasn't that person anymore, but the friend or friends still were. Mm-hmm. So when I revisited those friendships, it felt like I went back to the version of myself I used to be. And in order not to betray myself, I had to just look at where I want to be and accept that this is not taking me closer to the goal, it's taking me further away. In those instances, I also haven't ever had overt animosity, so maybe people don't like me.
I don't know, not for sure.
But it was a cordial, like, I don't think I said it so clearly. I was just like, I just don't think this is going to work. And those friendship breakups are always so hard, especially if the person doesn't do anything to you. So much easier to end your friendship when there's bad blood. But when it's just we've grown apart, like having that conversation is hard because like you said, the person might want to negotiate, the person might want to be like, no, but like, tell me what I did so that I can do better. And it's like, it's not about you doing better. Like, we're just, we just we just can't go together. And I think that's the advice I would give to someone in that position would be, like, pray about it. Because, like, it will surprise you how, so in some circumstances, I felt that I had to have, like, an explicit conversation, but I didn't want it to be so jarring as, like, a line in the sand. I don't want to be your friend anymore because, like, that's just icky. Like, I'm not gonna lie. It's just, like, it's not my style. It's just...
Yeah. Sometimes it's not necessary,
though. It's not necessary, and I feel like it's... Yeah, it's not necessary. So I prayed about it, and over time, there was just a mutual understanding. Nobody ever had to say anything, but we both just kind of understood, okay, this isn't what it used to be, and we went our ways. So there's no bad blood. We're cool. If we see each other, we'll say hi. But I feel like when you draw that line in the sand, it's hard to be at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. And the Bible does call us to that, like, as far as it be within your power. And so, yeah, I want to wish you well. I want to be able to wish you well from a distance. But that brings me to a question I'm going to ask you.
You hit me with reverse uno.
Reverse uno. Have you ever had a situation where, I'm gonna get back to my train of thought, it just slipped me for a second.
Okay.
Where, like, let's say you wanted to be friends with either, like, someone new or someone old, like, if in prospective friendship or an old friendship, mm-hmm. that was not compatible with, like, where you were at, like, spiritually. So let's say the example I gave of, like, holiness and, like, preserving that, like, let's say you meet someone new and you're like, oh, this person seems like they'd be a really good friend, but, like, they talk about energy and, like, horoscopes. Have you ever had a situation like that? Or, like, let's say alcohol, maybe you used to drink, I don't know, this is no shit, I don't know if you drink or not. and then you had a friend who used to drink or still does, who does drink. Like, have you been able to stay in those friendships without it affecting your soul? I think that's what I'm trying to say. Because I think there's a balance between, there's a fine line between God calling us to the world.
Mm.
And, like, people talk about how, like, how can the darkness get light if the light only stays with light, like,
mm-hmm.
if you only have friends who look like you, who go to your church, who are in your connect group, who, you know,
mm-hmm.
How are we supposed to positively impact the world?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a balance between that and knowing yourself and knowing, if I get around these people,
mm-hmm.
I may become like them. Because it's easier for, I always say this, it's easier for someone to pull you down than for you to pull
mm-hmm.
someone up. And people have given the example of, like, oh no, but Jesus hung out with prostitutes. But I think people give the example, or, like, the response I've heard is, again, the varying levels of intimacy. Like, prostitutes were not in his 12 disciples. They were not, like, in the three that he hung out with or prayed with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, the outer courts, the inner courts, the Holy of Holies, like, kind of how we have a relationship with God. So there are people who, I guess, are in your, like,
yeah.
I don't know if I asked a question.
No, I got it. But okay. Even at that, like, are you Jesus? Like, I know it's a good question, but at the same time, Jesus spent hours in prayer, spent a long time fasting. And so he, even though he had this human nature, like, there wasn't something in him that he used to do that was drawing him to people, that would make him tempted and trip up type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a faulty comparison to anybody saying, oh, but Jesus, like, and like you were saying, we need to be in the world and minister to people and stuff. But again, literally, that's the answer. Your inner circle is what matters. And so your question about navigating, wanting to, like, having friends basically in the world, like, how do I navigate that?
Yes. Have you ever tried to have, like, a missionary friendship?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I think... not a missionary friendship, but maybe missionary relationships. Because one thing, you know me, I love evangelizing.
You do.
And I don't even, like, go out of my way to evangelize. I just like talking to people. And this is what I was saying. So I think it's knowing that you can talk to people and connect to people without them having to be your friend that has made my life easier. So I have
should I say this on camera in 4K? Okay, so there are certain people that I am around on a daily basis who are not Christian. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Keeping it as vague as possible.
I ain't saying nothing bad. It's true. Not everybody is a Christian.
Yes. And I see the need that they have in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the kind of person that would be like, oh, Jesus loves you, unprovoked. I think I like a more conversational, relational. Let me ask you questions. Let me tell you what I think. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what I know to be truth. So there's no one I've ever wanted to be friends with who doesn't love God. I don't know how to describe it. So that's one side of things. I could go out for lunch with somebody who doesn't love God, because again, but I, to answer your question about temptation, I wouldn't be like, oh, let's go out on a night out and go to a bar with somebody who doesn't love God, because mm-hmm. the odds are I'm going to be tempted. Mm-hmm. And then that also brings me to a point, it'll make sense when I keep talking, but my friend was telling me about some people that she hangs around who are very negative, and it just pisses her off mm-hmm. so much. And then she was like, oh, but she doesn't want to confront them because she knows that they'll say, oh, I can't be myself around you. Which made me think of something like, why is, like, sin isn't your identity. So the people not being able to be negative around her shouldn't affect their ability to connect. Do you know what I mean? But what if they think it is? Because
it's inherently just like part of who they are. And so it's like they are saying, preventing them from being themselves. You are able to look at them and say, you are not your issue. But if they feel like this is just part of who I am.
Okay, maybe that was a bad example. So in this context, say I have friends who, you know, I still want to be friends with and love, but they go out to party. And I'm like, oh, fine, come on, let's go out. I'm like, I don't want to come, but let's go out for lunch. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying you can still be friends with people without having to do the things that you used to do before. I think it's also all about listening to God. God, what do you want my role in this person's life to be? Do you want me to still be this person's friend? If so, like, we can go for lunch, we can call, we can talk about important things in life. Mm-hmm. Just joke, it doesn't have to always be so serious. But if God is like, okay, time is up, then time is up. And so I think I'm also, as friendly as I am, I'm super protective about my space, because I like to put in effort in things that I do. So I'm not just going to be like, oh yeah, let me just be friends with this person. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think about it. So I think, again, it's like, where am I going? Do I want to take this person with me? And connection doesn't necessarily mean friendship.
That's good. And I think what you said about asking God is major, because I think, is it possible for God to send you to people, unbelievers or whatever? Mm-hmm. Yes. But I think you have to be graced for it. Mm-hmm. I think this is a touchy subject, but I was going to say, like, even in a marriage context, like, the Bible says do not be unequally yoked, period. Are there people who say that God called them to marry unbelievers? Yes.
The silence says everything.
Is it possible? Yes. And people often use the example of Hosea and Gomer. Let's not go there, because he was trying to send a message. But what I'm saying is, you cannot make an exception the rule. The rule is the rule. Mm. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Can God send you somewhere? Yes, and he will grace you for that. But if you try and go in your own strength, I think that's when people end up backsliding, or they end up like falling into sticky situations that they shouldn't be in, because they're like, oh no, like, I wanted to evangelize to them in a nightclub with shots in my hand. Like,
who's evangelizing the hoop? Wait, that was me one time.
fun fact.
Okay.
Okay, we grow, okay?
Okay.
Making disclaimers once there was
kind of just
a Christian conversation. There was one time that I was new to my, I've been a Christian all my life, but like, when I first, whatever. So my friends and I went to a party. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea. I don't even know if I had a conviction then. I literally had a couple shots or whatever. Man, I ended up having a convo with this guy. Like, we went outside. You know how you go outside with somebody that you've met in the club? This guy thought he was going to get something. It was outside. It was outside. No, he thought he was going to flirt to me. I started preaching to this guy. I was like, you don't really believe this. The cop loves him. And then afterwards, I'm pretty sure this guy, like, I don't know if I prayed with him. I'm not saying this is a good idea. I'm just saying, like, that actually happened one time and it's just a funny story. But yeah, and then actually, I was like, I want you to, like, help me with my faith. And I'm like,
wow, look at God.
Yeah, don't ask me what that guy is.
Using the most unlikely of situations.
No, but sorry, completely sidetracked story.
Yeah.
How do you come back from that?
Let's just say that was an exception and not the rule. Like, that's circling back to the earlier point. Yeah, so I think the summary of this is just, like, know what you're graced for. And, like, it's important. If I could summarize everything we said so far.
Are we rounding up?
Holiness is still right. Holiness is still right. That's my first
point. It's still right.
Yeah, like, holiness is, like, it's a thing, okay? Holiness is still right. Like, it's not old. It's not, like,
outdated. Still good.
It's still, whatever. It's still right. I don't know why that's...
Okay.
Know what you're graced for.
Mm-hmm.
Know, like, who is in which circle of intimacy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, like, misallocate people. Misallocating people will lead to disappointment, resentment, like, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like, there's a Bible verse that talks about, like, good, bad fruit spoiling good,
bad company ruins good morals.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. Yeah, so I'm protecting, yeah, I think I summarized. I was about to repeat something that I already said. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think one thing that I want to clarify for our friends that we are kind of ignoring.
Why do I have to say it like that?
Sorry, no. We're all stressed.
Okay.
So I don't know what to address. For context, if you're only listening to this on Spotify or Apple Music.
Why did you only address Spotify?
Maybe I'm biased because I use it, but anyways.
Okay.
Context, we're also making a video. So it's just really awkward because like, we don't know where to look. But anyways. My question is, we've said a few times, like, where I'm going, like, we have to leave people behind. Like, what, where are we going? Where are you going?
That's an existential question. Where am I going? I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the goal
mm-hmm.
is to be more and more like Jesus every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I'm going.
Okay.
So in my journey to that goal, getting closer with Jesus, like walking in holiness, walking in purity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by like, there are some people who help and some people who hinder
mm-hmm.
that journey.
Yeah, not necessarily hinder because they're actively doing.
No, it's not actively, like the Bible
yeah.
says every man is tempted by like what is in their own heart. So like, if it takes some self-awareness for me to say like, let's say, I don't know, let's use the alcohol example for instance. Let's say I used to drink.
So you're going to say you used to drink or something.
I said I used to drink.
No, I thought you were going to say, let's use alcohol. Say you used to drink.
No, no.
Come on.
Not you, girl. Not you. I used to party and drink. And my friend, still does. It's something that, like, I'm still walking out with
mm-hmm.
God. The Holy Spirit is still helping me, like, die to my flesh in that
mm-hmm.
way. The temptation comes from my own heart, like, my own desire. So the person isn't, like, actively trying to tempt me or hinder
mm-hmm.
me. But because I'm aware of my own desires, my flesh, etc., like, I'm aware of the temptation
mm-hmm.
that situation presents. So the same way, like, somebody swearing
isn't actively like trying to tempt me with their swearing. But I think just naturally, like the more you're around people who swear, the more you listen to music that has swear words, the easier I find swear words will just like come out of my mouth.
That's so real.
It's so real. Like me, I've never, like, have not sworn in years, and someone is doing FFFFF. Oh yeah, I'm like, whoa, I thought that had died.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by like hindrances, or like, I don't like the idea of leaving people behind. I think of it more as like protecting your heart. And do you know what? Why don't we say that? I hope we're running up, but that's okay. You can carry on. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm getting it. It was a round of thought.
Sorry.
So you said it's like protecting your heart. And I had,
maybe heart is the wrong, protecting your walk. Let's say that.
Okay. Sure, like it wasn't
okay.
Yeah, the hearts that I was after, but chasing your hearts, protecting your walk. If God has told you one thing that I learned, if God has told you to stop being friends with this person or whatever, God loves you, God also loves the other person,
mm-hmm.
and so they are not necessarily as a disadvantage because they're no longer friends with you.
No.
Like, God is also putting together people in their lives that are going to lead them towards destiny. Because I think when you think of it as, which is what you said, you don't like leaving them behind, I think you're just going in different directions.
Yeah.
And one direction might not be better than the other.
They might just be different.
Yeah. And it's sad. Like, life can be so sad sometimes when you like leave people behind and all that jazz. But I think it's also a trust in God and his plan, not only for you, but for me and my sister and everyone around. He's working together the good for all of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So
amen. Yeah, that was just my roundup note that God is good
to everyone.
To everyone.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This is my closing question to you.
I didn't ask you a question, closing question. I had a closing comment.
I'm just saying this is my closing question. What advice would you give someone who was left?
Ooh, putting myself in the other person's shoes, huh? Never thought about this. I'm gonna have to take a beat. Somebody who was left. I think in being left, or even in leaving someone, there is a big void and it's painful. And I think one of the best places that you can ever be as a Christian, maybe the person isn't a Christian, but let's just say the best place you could ever be is, what's the word? Is wrong of yourself.
Expand.
Hear me out. Is, so you know the verse, for I boast in my weakness because when I'm weak, Christ is strong in me. In a time where I felt like I didn't have any friends after leaving some friends behind, and I'll come back to the lefty, but in that time, that was what I found Jesus the most, because I'm like, who am I when I don't have friends, when I don't have this, when I don't have that? So when I was wrong of myself, I'm like, okay, God, like, you have the stage that you can do anything. So I think for the person who has, quote unquote, been left, I think that's a perfect opportunity to fill that void with love and with God, and just like to seek him. Because this person probably, like, if it hurts, this person probably meant a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when your back is against the wall, like, God always wants to love you, but I feel like it just gives you the opportunity to be filled that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like, it's like losing someone is hard. What advice do you give to anyone losing anything apart from God? Do you know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah. And I guess I was a kind of Christian, like, if
I'm trying to think practically as well. Mm. Someone who's been left. I think what's always helpful is to identify, first of all, to feel, to journal, to talk it out, to whatever you want to do. Also to identify what hurts the most, I think is sometimes helpful. Like even speaking to a therapist, like feeling, because you can feel betrayed.
Yeah.
And just working through things and coming to learn that with or without this person in my life, I am still, like, I'm still valuable. I'm not a lesser person. I just have to unfortunately learn how to stand on top of what once broke you and then keep stepping up. I don't know. It's hard. What advice would you give?
I would say grieve. Like what you said, acknowledge the loss, because it is a loss. And I think often we think we can only grieve things that have, a lot of people who have died. But a loss is a loss, is a loss, is a loss. So I would say grieve. Do you want to say something?
Sorry, yeah, something is popular. Forgive, but yes.
Yeah. And I would say try, as painful as it will be in the moment, and maybe you might not be able to do that immediately, but like empathize, put yourself in the other person's shoes. And I think we have a tendency, Christian or not, like to be very like self-focused, very like inward looking, me. And the immediate tendency would be to think, how does this affect me? Like, why is this person abandoning me? Like, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
But if you like just stop for a second and think about how hard this must have been for the other person, and think about like the fact that this person is trying to better themselves, and if you love them, then like you would want that for them too, even if the best thing for them is not you.
That's painful.
It's painful, even in like romantic relationships, it's always painful because you want to believe that like, how could I not be good for you? Like, nobody wants to think that they're not good for someone. But I think if you have the humility to accept that maybe the best thing for you is not me, and that's okay, I think it will take the sting away, and it will feel less personal, and you know that this person is on a journey, I'm also on a journey, and like you said, that we're going in different directions doesn't mean that one direction is wrong, it just means they're different directions. I think that empathy piece would play a major role in not creating bad blood, and I don't for a second pretend like any of this is easy. It will sting, it will hurt, because everybody has like such high like perceptions of themselves. But my hope is that like over time, once you see things from the other person's view, once you grieve, once you've forgiven, like you said, then hopefully you'll be able to see that person in a social context and like truly wish them well. And yeah, it won't be too painful for too long.
It becomes very sobering very quickly.
Yeah, because nobody ever thinks about the lefty, as you call them. Like, it's always the person leaving, but it hurts to be left. So,
well, I don't even know on this note.
I think we should pray.
I was just about to say,
for, do you want to pray? Sure. And you can chime in if you have anything to add.
Sure.
I'm so skeptical.
No, I'm just wondering if we're praying for the lefty or the
lover. I think I'm praying for friendships.
Okay.
In general.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of friendship. We thank you that your word says that there is a season for everything under the sun, and that means there is a time for friendships to start and there's a time for friendships to end. We pray for everyone listening to this episode, Lord, that you would give them good friends. You would give them friends who will go the long haul, covenant friends, God friends, and not just good friends, Lord. Cause them to come into alignment with people who will run this race with them, who would cheer them on, and who they can also cheer on. We pray for iron sharpening iron type friendships, Lord. We pray for friendships that edify. We pray for friendships that stretch, that grow. Even in the discomfort of fights and fallouts, God, that I thank you that you are refining us. Friendships are a way of, a means of refining. So I pray that
we would value friendships. I thank you that you haven't called anyone to be an island. God, you've called us to be in community for a reason. So I pray that you'd show us the value of friendships, that if Jesus, God incarnate, had friends, then we need friends too. I pray for the humility to apologize when we're wrong in our friendships. I pray for a right view of our friendship so that we can allocate each friendship with like its appropriate weight. And I pray, Lord, for the people who have difficult decisions to make in friendships, whether you're calling them out of friendships or calling them into friendships that maybe they wouldn't naturally have chosen. I pray for the grace. I pray for the wisdom. I pray for understanding. I pray for empathy. And I pray for love above all. Jesus, I thank you that you give us a perfect example of love. I pray for that love to reign in every friendship. And I pray for the people who maybe have been left and feel abandoned and feel hurt and betrayed. Lord, I pray that you would be a salve to those wounds. And that even if only in time, that they would see how you're using this pain for their good and for your glory.
Amen. That was good. I
didn't want
to do that.
Oh. It's always nice when someone doesn't have something. I'm joking. Additions are always welcome.
You know,